You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is going to be your best friend because, look, you need guidance when you are buying and selling a home. You need honest advice, and you want straightforward, like, just give it to me real. And that's what the good folks at the Live Love Group do every single day. They're going to help you make the most money for your home. They're going to help you manage expectations, but, you know, overachieve, right? That's the goal. Reach out, SoToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200. They are the best. Jen, at the very least, like I like to say, she's going to be a great resource for you. You're not going to have to sign anything. Don't worry. You decide to go with another realtor in another group, that's fine with Jen. But as John says, she's going to simplify everything, give you the honest truth, and get you top dollar for that home. 901-625-5200. If you'd like, be like me, and help you on the home buying side as well. She does it all. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, the AP Top 25 is officially out for week two of the college football season. Moving right along here, Jason. Ohio State is your new number one. Not a shock at all, beating the previous number one ranked Texas Longhorns. You know, that's just the way that the system works. You know, I guess maybe not, because some would argue that Penn State should be number one, but I'm fine with it. I'm fine with leapfrogging Penn State because Penn State played slappy. And when you play slappies, you know, they don't mean anything.
That's right.
So I'm cool with that. So Ohio State number one, Penn State number two. LSU moves all the way up to number three for winning at Clemson.
Big rise.
How many spots is that?
What was LSU? Eight? Don't give me a
lie. They were like ninth, weren't they?
Eight, ninth, somewhere in there. Yeah.
And Clemson was fourth.
I tell you, LSU was ninth.
Yeah.
So they jumped six spots.
Six, that's right. All the way up to number three. Georgia four. Miami jumps up five spots to number five with their win over Notre Dame, which we have not talked a ton about. You know, it got very hairy there, you would say, for them at the end of that game. If not for that ridiculous touchdown catch, they probably lose.
Ooh, what a catch.
I mean, I as good as Beck may have played on the whole, he got away with a couple of, you know, ridiculous throws.
He did.
I mean, there's, you know.
Unbelievable grab.
I mean, yeah, that was one-handed. Legitimately Odell Beckham Jr.
It was.
I mean, it's like the same layout, you know. But Miami all the way up to five, Oregon six, Texas seven, Clemson eight, Notre Dame nine, South Carolina 10. We were talking about Texas. They go from number one all the way down to number seven for losing at Ohio State.
It's too big a drop for me, going on the road, losing a game, within a touchdown of Ohio State to drop six spots to seven.
Right.
I realize there's a lot of disappointment there, particularly as it relates to Arch and all the hype, and hype about this Texas team that ended the preseason number one for the first time in school history, but that is too much of a drop. I would still have Texas ahead of Georgia. I like the LSU jump. I think they deserve that for going out on the road and beating number four. I would have Texas behind LSU and ahead of Georgia.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that's too far a drop.
Yeah, I agree with that. Punitive for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really think South Carolina's a top 10 team?
Oh, boy.
I don't know, man.
Early on, I didn't know.
I'm not sure they are. I think Virginia Tech is pathetic, and they're the beneficiaries. But we'll see over the course of an SEC season. No real surprises elsewhere. I mean, you got SMU 17th. We used to care about SMU, not anymore. Ole Miss is 20th.
Yep.
Tennessee 22. Alabama dropped all the way to 21. Well, they were 8th, maybe.
Alabama was number 8.
And they have dropped. I think they should consider themselves quite fortunate to still be in the top 25. Because I can make a case that they should not be. Memphis did receive votes, which I think would – I don't care about doing the math here on what it would put them in as a number, but, you know, they're there. They're in the
other – Can't be ahead of South Florida, right?
They are definitely not. They are third in the American.
Okay.
They are behind South Florida, behind Tulane.
Got it.
And then they're just ahead of Navy.
So they've adjusted for South Florida. Push them to the top.
That's exactly
clearly right. Of the AAC.
So, I mean, we've talked a lot about the disappointments. All on the whole, whose performance this weekend did you come away saying that was the best?
Interesting.
Individual or team? I mean, either one.
I think it's Brian Kelly and LSU because I do still have high expectations for that Clemson team. Still expected to make the playoffs as the ACC champ. And this was a pressurized win for Brian Kelly, who was winless in openers at LSU.
Yep.
Who everyone is saying, look, the previous two coaches won national championships. That's what we brought you here for. Remember, he left Notre Dame under the guise that, you know, I've ceilinged out here. And then so you also have the optics of Marcus Freeman taking it higher.
Yep.
So you go to LSU, it's time to get going to perform like that. Especially the way their defense did, I thought I'm trying to think. We're talking team, not individual.
Yeah,
yeah. LSU going and the rise 6 spots are indicative of what seemed to end. You know, they're with me. That was the most impressive thing of the weekend.
Yeah,
I guess you could say Ohio State. I guess, but
I mean, yeah, Ohio State. That was they're at home.
You're at home.
You know, it was a pick 'em.
You went on the road and beat 4. That's And give all credit to Mike Norvell, Miles on the OC, the run game, how physical they were against Bama. That was at home.
Yeah.
And so I will say LSU what they did most impressive.
Yeah, I mean I think
you put me on spot there.
No, I think it's
the right answer.
You know, I mean I could make a case for the TCU quarterback yesterday. I mean, I thought he just carved that damn defense up. I mean, I know he had help from the run game, but just as a whole, I thought he looked really good. Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Hoover, 284 yards. He did have one stupid pick on a screen, but other than that, you know, 27-36, 284. I mean, you know, that TCU offense was just humming. I mean, that was a beatdown, and they forced North Carolina into complete submission. You know, again, I would say
I know it was Thursday, and it's a lower level than these top 10 matchups we're talking about. But what South Florida did to Boise State was pretty impressive
as
well. That
yeah.
one was at home, yeah. So you had Boise State coming, you know, to see you in the humidity and everything else. But
yeah.
They reset our thinking in a way.
Yeah.
Tulane may still be the team to beat.
Yep.
But they have forced their way up into the conversation in a way that was very impressive. And
yes.
Now you got to play, what, Florida, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now a part of the college football conversation that I was not banking on.
Yeah.
But shout out to Golish and those guys.
Yeah.
You know.
It did age very well over the course of the weekend. There's no doubt.
Yeah, that was impressive.
I would say he didn't necessarily, like, jump off the entire page, but that freshman Miami receiver, Malachi Toney, wow. 6 catches, 82 yards, a touchdown as a freshman. That dude is going to be great. I mean, like, he...
Saw Michael Irvin's down there on the sideline going nuts.
I also got to say, like, they didn't win, but the damn Notre Dame quarterback, man, he showed some...
Carr, after an ugly start.
Yeah, couldn't have been worse.
Got him back in. Like,
but, I mean, he made some big-time plays for them late. You know, again, had that stupid screen pick. I mean, you saw a couple of those over the weekend. Just like, why is everybody throwing picks in the screens? Yeah, I thought you know he didn't get a lot of help from his run game, his Jeremiah Love and company. You know, he kind of had to grind. He was responsible for 3 touchdowns. So I think he showed, hey, there could be life after Riley Leonard up there in South Bend.
Well, I got one more for you. It's Tommy Castellanos. After what he said in the offseason that Nick Saban wasn't going to be able to see Alabama going to be able to save Alabama in this game. He said that in the offseason. Folks thought he was setting Florida State up for disaster, and he didn't do anything but go out there and back it up. That guy, he's not, you know, a lot of the he got benched last year at BC. A lot of talk about is how tough he is. Dude, he made plays out there for Mike Norvell. And so, you know, a year after having a bad quarterback situation and getting fooled with your boy, DJ, I think he's got him an absolute stud that backed up his talk, his offseason talk in Castellanos. That was impressive.
I mean, you would say that overall, on the whole, Mike Norvell should, you know, be a guy that gets the benefit of the doubt, because every time he's had, like, a good quarterback, he's been good. I guess that's true of anybody, but I think even if he had the Alabama quarterback, Ty Simpson, you know, he would have been able to get that win on Saturday.
That he needed that win, but you're reminded, you know, last year sort of, man, it was so bad, it almost you dismiss the 12-0 season that he had and the success that he's had, but it was the fifth win for him. He's starting his sixth year, fifth win for him over an SEC team.
I mean, that's pretty damn good. It really is. And,
you know, as hot as we said his seat was, he's had success down there. He had the one remarkable season.
Yep.
Quarterback goes out, it's absolute tragedy, gets hurt. And then last year is a debacle. But, that was an impressive win over an Alabama team that many had said, this team's going to win the SEC. The board's going to take off in this year. No.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was just – and it was the way they did it, how they out-physicaled the SEC.
Yeah.
And used a run game. Malzahn's run game to beat him up. It was the way they did it. Very impressive for Florida State.
Well, you know,
got a stud. Got a dude at quarterback. I don't know about he's not some stud passer or anything else, but he's a man. Get it done. He was 9-14 for 152.
Yeah. So the
16 for
the thing that people are going to have to realize too, because we've gotten used to this, you know, in college football and college basketball, you just buy the coach out, right? Like you just spend the money and you do it. Whether it's $50 million to get rid of this guy or $65 million to get rid of that guy. I think those days are probably behind us, because schools can't afford to do that anymore. You have this rep share that you have to come up with every single year for $20 million now, that you didn't used to have to come up with. You used to not have to worry about paying anybody anything, you know? Now, if I fire Kalen DeBoer after this year, I'm going to owe this dude $60 million that I'm going to have to pay, you know, over X amount of time. Now, look, I'm an SEC team. You know, I got it, but it's just $7, $8, $9, $10 million that otherwise probably would have gone to my athletes in some way, shape, or form that I now have to give to him. And I mean, however you want to spin it, you got it, you don't got it. It's just money that would have otherwise gone to improving your program,
right,
that is now going to just line the pockets of a guy that wasn't good enough.
With no promise of the next guy digging you out of
100%. You got to pay him too. So really it becomes, I mean, it's a multifaceted problem now, because, yeah, you used to have to do that too, but you didn't have to come up with $20 million a year, and that number will go up. That number will continue to go up throughout. So it does kind of change the calculus for these schools now. It's like, yeah, I think in 2010, this guy would already be on the hot seat.
He's already lost four games to unranked teams. Nick did lost four the entire time he was there.
100%. He would earn 90% of his remaining deal in monthly installments if he is fired without cause. So he's 8 months in the second year of his deal, which means that if his if he's fired during the regular season, is $63 million. If he's fired on December 1st, 2025, he would be owed $60 million in monthly installments.
They're stuck like Chuck.
And, you know,
they're stuck. They can. They won't do it this year.
It's just never been more important in terms of, like, getting the hire right. I mean, because you can't just, all right, this is like Billy Clyde Gillespie at Kentucky basketball. We could just fire him and it's over. We'll go get it. We'll go get Cal. You know, it's different now. You can't do both and expect to still have top five recruit, because I think he brought in, what, the fourth best recruiting class. You cannot fire these coaches and pay them X amount of money and still expect to sign top five recruiting classes, because you're going to get outbid by Oregon, who still likes their coach. You're going to get outbid by Ohio State. You know, we'll go down the list, right? Texas, you're going to lose. So if you get it wrong, you really get it wrong. And you basically have to wait till the guy's contract runs out.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they get last year of his deal type stuff. It's a mess. It's a mess there. I'm sure Drew Hill's not excited about it. We'll talk to him, get his thoughts on Alabama football, what he makes of it, what they're thinking in Tuscaloosa, what's the pulse down there, Get into all that and more around the college football weekend with Drew Hill when we get back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's a proud University of Memphis graduate. joins us usually on Thursdays, but we had to move this up. We had to get him on today because it's just that time, man. It's that time. He joins us now. No, you're not a Memphis graduate, although I do think you would be proud if you were. But I don't get the sense that you're a very proud Alabama grad today, Drew.
I'm always a proud Alabama graduate, even on days like this. So I'm sticking with my team. But with that, can we have a brief moment of silence for my program today? I think it is officially over. So if we can give it 2 seconds here. Okay.
Over.
You're welcome.
It's over.
You're
like
welcome.
You're not, we're not even talking about the Kalen DeBoer tenure. We're talking about the whole program.
No, well, the Kalen DeBoer tenure is what we're talking about here.
Okay, well, you did say your program.
Let me read,
let me read
you a quick quote. This is a quick quote from the one Nick Saban, if you will indulge me. If you wake up in the morning, it's about nothing, okay? If you wake up in the morning and you feel entitled, what does that get you? Nothing. If you think somebody owes you something, what would that get you? Nothing. If you lose your discipline and your work ethic, what would that get you? Nothing. If you fail to prepare and pay attention to detail, what will that get you? Nothing. So nothing is more important than staying focused on being the best you can be, no matter what you choose to do. And I just thought it was so appropriate because that's essentially what the Alabama football team gave us on Saturday. Nothing. They gave us absolutely nothing. That was one of the worst performances I've seen in a long time. Embarrassing. And now they get to take their lumps. And it's I don't like the Chiefs. They win too much. I don't like the Patriots. During the Tom Brady era, they won too much. Once upon a time, long before I went to school at Alabama, I was cheering for Texas in the national championship game back in 2009 when I was still, I believe, in middle school. So I get it. I understand the grave dancing. I have to absorb it. I have to take it because if I were on the other side of it, I would certainly be doing the same. So I am here to stand in and take the punches on this part, but they got to be better than that. Oh, my gosh, that was so miserable.
It's clear this guy is a substitute teacher that's got no control over the class whatsoever, Paul. That's what legend told Feinbaum on Feinbaum's show. There was a rant he went on about this loss. Said it was he said he's never seen a softer, more pathetic team in his life. I had seen some, too, speculate that this team quit on DeBoer. Did you, first off, fair to say substitute teacher? That sounds like a guy that's, in over his head and can never get this back. And then in terms of the physicality, man, I think that was the scariest part of me, that this was happening, at the hands of an ACC team. Maybe that's the thing that's the scariest about, whatever his tenure is going to be. You weren't even physical.
Yeah, is there a chance that everyone looks super dumb later on because Alabama finishes with like one other loss and they make the playoff? I suppose awesome. There's a chance, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen based on the effort of the team and the track record over the last 10 games, which I think they're 5-5. I think the physicality of it was alarming. Like, there's all kinds of tapes out there that show players essentially not even trying on defense, like guys just totally jogging. Like, it was bad. There's a lot of criticism from former players. I mean, AJ McCarron and Trent Richardson are just lighting into this guy on the internet this morning. And so I think that this is to be expected, especially like what was so disappointing to me was like, I'm not the type of guy that's going to be like, I was so right about this, because one thing that really frustrates me is all these people that have, like, I don't mind the fans grave dancing on Alabama, particularly if you're like an LSU fan or a Tennessee fan or somebody that's like stoked that the window is now open and the Wicked Witch of the West is dead. Like, I'm actually totally fine with that. But I don't like the folks that have predicted it six times that they were going to be done, and now they finally are done, it appears. And, like, you don't get to be right just because you were right on the sixth try. You were actually wrong five times. Like, that's more what, like, annoys me in this situation. And so I felt like we were a little bit bamboozled by the Bama brand coming into the season, because so much of it was like, well, this team is really good, and they returned everything on defense just about, and the offensive line is going to be great, and then none of it showed up. So I think that's really the level of frustration, was like none of it translated to being what you would expect would happen on the field. And then, like, the one thing I pointed out, I think it was on Friday's show when I was hosting for Jeff and I was calling it the PTSD Bowl with Jeffrey, was like, I wasn't sure on Ty Simpson, and I'm still not sure on Ty Simpson, because Jalen Milroe was a very good quarterback at times for Alabama, but he was pretty one-dimensional as a passer. Like, there was no really short or intermediate game with Jalen Milroe. He threw it down the field or he used his legs, and like everybody sort of knew that was the way that he played. And I think last year when the team was struggling, there was ample opportunity to go to Ty Simpson, and they opted not to do it. And then they turned around and now started him in his final season. And I think in the end, it did show why he did not beat out Jalen Milroe, because he didn't look better than Jalen Milroe looked last year. So he didn't look very good either. And I think we all sort of fell for, well, he was great at the Manning passing camps or whatever, and that really never meant anything to me. And so I don't know if Alabama is quite as good as they were made up to be before the season. One game in, they certainly don't appear to be. I could sound like an idiot 8 weeks from now if they turn it around and, like, look great, but I don't know what I'm supposed to believe based on what I saw on Saturday, which was just a really terrible showing.
Yeah, I just kind of think it – I mean, obviously, it's probably a wrong fit with DeBoer. I think that's evident to everybody. But I also think it's just more like the level that Nick Saban had it at was just you can't even call it a standard. I mean, it was the pinnacle. It was the crescendo. It was the peak. It's the best that anybody could ever hope to be. And so, it's for me, it's more like just a love letter to that. A coaching staff and to that ability, and a hearkening back to, like, hey, it's just never, it's probably not possible to expect it to be like this ever again. A guy that's up 63-10 on New Mexico is still light into it. Like, it's just not that they don't make coaches like that. I mean, you could get the best coach and it's not going to be like that. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is that, but I still think it holds true. Like, this is more about Nick Saban being a level of greatness that is unattainable than anything else, although it's still disappointing within all of that.
Yeah, I know. I think that's definitely right. You know, it just shows you how great he was, even until the end, when I think some things were working against him, when they weren't really, the school wasn't ahead of times anymore in terms of, like, the NIL type stuff. Like, they weren't as good as Tennessee in the early years of taking advantage of stuff like that. Like, and he still put teams that on the field that were that good. And I think you're right. The problem is, and, like, let's just call it what it is and just be blunt here. Like, Alabama's fan base does not consist of a lot of people that match politically with this city itself or anything along those lines. Like, I think that when you look at the disciplinarian version of a coach versus a coach that comes from the West Coast that's clearly hands-off and lets his players do essentially whatever they want to do, like, the minute – like, it has nothing to do with the product on the field, in my opinion. But the minute that things start to go wrong, like, they're going to look for every reason to hate this guy. And so I don't think it's helping Kalen DeBoer at all, especially with the fan base, that – He seems to be, you know, very hands-off in terms of his approach to the players. Like, he's not the guy that's yelling at the guys during practice to tuck in their shirt. Like, that's not Kalen DeBoer. It's the total opposite of that. And when you've had 19 years of Nick Saban being the most, discipline-oriented coach in the country, and you go to a totally different style – I think that it just has sort of been a recipe for disconnect, and I don't know how that's going to go, but I have a feeling that it's going to be, I don't know, more challenging to fire him with that $70 million buyout than people expect. Like, people say, oh, it's Bama. Like, they'll just figure out a way to do it. That's an absurd amount of money. I know Texas A&M was able to do it, but Texas A&M has, like, oil money and stuff like that. Like, I feel like that would be – Alabama would be hurting pretty good if they had to pay a $70 million buyout. So I just don't know what the fix is here at this point.
Which performance, and John asked me a version of this, in terms of from the college football weekend, were you most impressed with? Obviously got you guys and what happened in North Carolina last night, right there, the disappointments, and that's taken a lot of the headlines and the talk. But in terms of the most impressed you were, whether individual or by a team from the college football weekend, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think LSU impressed me. Yep. I thought LSU looked pretty good. They might have the best win. I'm not ready to, like, bash Arch yet. Like, I don't think it was a great performance, and maybe Texas isn't quite as good as we thought. But I think that also reflects on how good Ohio State's defense is. And they have probably the best defensive player in the country in Caleb Downs. And so I think Ohio State is extremely legit. And, like, if Texas can't score on them, like, I don't think Texas is going to have trouble putting up points later on this season. So I would probably go with LSU and Ohio State as the big winners from the weekend. And I would probably – I mean, how do you not give it to Ohio State in this situation, just because, you know, they had totally stifled that Texas offense. And I know their offense has some work to do, but I don't worry about that team with Ryan Day figuring out a way to put up points later on down the line either.
What about Memphis football? I know, again, it's Chattanooga, and so you don't want to go too nuts over any analysis. But from what you did, or, you know, I don't know how much of the game you were able to see. What'd you think?
Yeah, I saw parts of it. I think with Memphis, they essentially accomplished everything you'd want them to accomplish, right? Like, I think the quarterback played well enough. Lewis looked pretty good. They won the game in very convincing fashion. I kind of entered the weekend with Memphis football thinking there's not really much that they can do from a positive or negative standpoint to sway me to one side of the fence here on if I feel like this team can win the conference or not, not against Chattanooga in week one. There was certainly a better possibility for a negative takeaway leaving that game than a positive takeaway, because even a 52 to whatever win doesn't necessarily, you know, change my opinion on it. So I think they held steady. We'll see how they look in a couple weeks. And in the end, really, the hope is that they're undefeated when they get to that Arkansas game. And I think if they are, you're going to have a great crowd at the Liberty Bowl for that. There will be a lot of excitement around the season, and, like, you'll have a chance to fully put yourself in the driver's seat for, like, winning the AAC and potentially getting a bid into the college football playoff. Like, that would be I think overall it was a mission accomplished for Memphis, a thumbs up. I'm not sure it changed my opinion on the season as a whole, but I thought it was a good enough weekend for Ryan Silverfield and the Tigers.
I appreciate your man Jaren Jackson Jr. being at the game too, being at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium for that one. You think is that, and you know Jaren well, and maybe I'm asking to speculate. So maybe it's already out there. Maybe someone asked him. But is that a civic pride thing? Hey, this is going on. I support this university. Is it somewhere he's asked to come? I just thought it was great to see when you've got that crossover in the local, you know, the NBA team, or even if it's just Jaren individually supporting you.
Yeah, I haven't asked about it, to be honest with you, but I imagine it's just a civic pride thing. Yeah. This is what he does, right? Like, he's already posting to go get tickets online for Grizzlies fans. He's done a lot to be really supportive of the community over a lot of different years. Desmond Bain has really sort of carried the torch in recent seasons for University of Memphis football.
Yep.
And
right.
Somebody had to
that's
pick right. it up. So shout out to Jaren for picking it up and going to the game. I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, I like that he wants to be involved with things around the community and, like, wants to because it's not easy for those guys to go do anything in public. It's such a song and dance to have your security and have make sure everybody's happy, and like, you know, they're asked to do a million things over and over and over again, and it's hard to disappoint people when like everybody's going to be asking for stuff at the game and you're not going to be able to say yes to everybody. But I think that meant something to Ryan Silverfield, and that meant something to the Memphis program that he's out there doing that. So I applaud Jaren for going to the Tigers game this weekend.
And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at Bradley Beal's wedding. So it was a busy weekend for the Grizzlies. Why don't you go watch that movie again? That movie that you saw with Malco. What was it called? Days Gone By, The Story of Alabama Football. What was that?
Nothing but a winner. Nothing but a winner, asterisk, unless they're playing Florida State or Gus Malzahn offense in the rain.
Or any other ranked team, unranked team.
Caleb's about to make it better for you, buddy, come Monday night.
I hope so, man. You know what? What's sad is I have this house, and I put this Alabama flag out in front of my house this summer because I had never had, like, a flagpole before. So I put this Alabama flag out in front of my house. And I was getting crap from the Amazon guy this morning about having my Alabama flag out in front of my house. So I'm changing it. I'm going to hang up the phone, and I'm going to go hang my Bears flag outside the house now because we're changing teams. We're on to Caleb Williams. Yep. We're on to Caleb Williams.
Your coach is Ben Johnson, not Kalen DeBoer.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I think it's a good strategy, man. I do. It can't get worse than that. It's kind of where I'd be. Best of luck.
Appreciate you coming on doing this,
brother. Weekend and moving forward, Drew, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. He is Drew Hill. Covers the Grizzlies normally for the Daily Memphian, but today his job was to answer for his coach in Tuscaloosa.
It's a tough task, and he was up to it, you know, to ask you to come do that out of his regular scheduled slot.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's not easy to do, represent. Be the spokesman for Alabama football today.
But you know what? You got to choose your heart in life, man. You got to choose your heart. Either you run away from it and you never address it and you never fix it, or you know, you attack it head on and you say, "Hey,
see, that's what I like." You're right.
Okay, you got to choose your heart.
He didn't try to deflect it to Bill Belichick and what happened there, you did on your arch tape.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he didn't do that. He stood up in.
That was way worse. That was way worse. I can't possibly get better or worse than that. I mean,
tried to deflect. To your point, Drew took it head on.
Yeah, attack that thing, man.
But he did go into it with some apprehension into that game. And
easy
to jump ship.
That's what Bennett used to do, though. You know, at some point, you just have to be a man, and you have to just expect to win and be let down.
Dawkins does it with the Bills. Not just Bennett.
Dare to be disappointed for once, folks. Because if you go into these games thinking that you're going to lose every single one of them, you know, and I'm not saying Drew Hill does that, but Bennett used to be a very, very bad offender about this, right?
It's when you're good and you do it.
Every big playoff game with the Titans would be like a 2 seed or whatever it was, you know, and they'd be a short favorite or whatever. He'd say, "I'm scared." You know, but it's like, no. They need to be scared of you.
Like the Patriots this week.
You need to be the one that imposes the fear. You know, as opposed to being the one that's cowering in fear. But, you know, again, it's all about knowing who you are. Like with the Raiders this year, do I think that we're going to impose fear in anybody? No. But do I think we'll be like plucky and fun to watch? Yeah. We're not in that mode. It ain't like, oh, we're coming. We're big bad. I don't even think you're there yet. I think you're getting there. It's part of the trajectory, but you're not there yet. The Packers are a team that's supposed to be doing that with what they have. I don't know if they do. I don't know if you fear playing them yet. But the Eagles, you know, the Chiefs, those are the type of teams that, you know, you need to be afraid of. The Bills, the Ravens, those kinds of teams, the elite teams. But Alabama, once upon a time, was that.
Take Alabama football off the list.
I think we got to take them off the fear list. You know, they're like they're just a team. They're just a team now. They're just an SEC team. That's the part of it that you're going to have to get adjusted to.
So they're Memphis basketball after Cal?
Yeah.
Just a team now?
Yeah. I mean, they're just a team. Now, Memphis will win its league, but it's in a terrible league, so kind of that's a tough comp. But, yeah, I mean.
But if you're not making Sweet 16s, then you could make an argument that you're just one of
the
undefeated.
I mean, Alabama
didn't
make the playoff last year. They're probably not going to make the playoff this year. You know, I mean, it's just not. They're just a team. They're an 8-4, 9-3 team. Maybe, you know, They're better every once in a while, but it's like,
who could have taken this gig though?
Nobody.
Realistically, nobody. And kept it. No, to that whoever. That's
yeah,
my point.
Yeah,
you're set up for failure.
They were doomed to become just a team.
Mike Norvell?
No. 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 I mean, I get what you're saying, but no. He would not have.
He had to give up play calling duties this year to Malzahn.
That was smart, though.
Yeah, it was, but I'm just saying.
Because he won against that team doesn't mean he could still do that job, right? Like, that job was going to be impossible for anybody.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I liked Norvell at the time as the hire.
Norvell's a good coach, yeah. But he's had some 5-7 years, some sure. down years. You know, I mean, last year obviously was a mess, 2-10. You know, I mean, it's just it's tough, and I just think they were doomed. In fairness, again, who would not trade the next whatever for what they had?
Yeah. Someone could do better than 4 losses already to unranked
teams. I think that's the part, less than
a season and a half.
But would anybody have been able to, you know, come in that to that job? Like, who's the best? Who in your mind is the best college football coach right now? Who's the best?
It might be Ryan Day now.
All right. You think Ryan Day, I mean, he would not have lost the ranked teams, but
before last year, no one would have said that.
Nobody would have said that.
I'm not taking Dabo.
No, you're not taking James Franklin.
I'm not taking Franklin, of course. Mark Freeman just lost. I like him a lot, though.
But, I mean.
Just as a coach.
There's not.
That's the place Brian Kelly said I topped out. And this guy took it higher. But you see the exercise here.
It's like there's nobody who you're like, oh, yeah, that guy would have killed it at Alabama. Like, everybody would have had.
You're right.
You know, a challenge. Everybody would have had a. Now, again, maybe not this much of a challenge where you're losing as much as you're losing to these unranked teams, but.
Kirby's up there, too. But you know, Kirby's fine. He's at Georgia. He's at the Quiblin. You know, he's built that team.
See, that's another one. We would have said Kirby.
Yeah.
But we don't because they had, you know, that weird year last year. They lost Notre Dame.
But Dabo's a former Alabama guy, right?
Right. But see, he's lost all his luster.
I still think they're going to make the college football playoff and be a
factor. They will.
And he's finally, much like he was just saying about Norvell being open to adjustment, in this case, needing it, and you know, bringing in Malzahn.
Right.
Capable of adjustment, and yes. Dabo's doing that by yes. now being open to the portal. Try to be stubborn at
yes.
first. You're
yes.
not going to keep winning that way unless you're willing that's to
right.
evolve.
That's right.
And I think, okay, maybe you've got a guy that's willing to evolve now because yep. his way wasn't working anymore.
Yep. You know, a guy that I think might have been sick enough to do well there is Lane.
Yeah.
He might have been sick enough to do it there. But it's a big difference when you go from Ole Miss to Alabama, man.
That's what I was going to say. And if he does that, any kind of, well, your expectations are a little off with that fan base, if
yeah.
he did that to, no, yeah. I said that, mm-mm.
Ole Miss is a freaking amazing job because you can make $10 million a year. You can live in beautiful Oxford, Mississippi. And honestly, if you just keep it a party and you score 63 points a game and win 9 games a year, they ain't going to say nothing to you.
Max. Make a fortune. He's the mayor of Oxford.
They ain't saying he lifetime deal. Give him the Rick Barnes,
right?
I mean, they would if he asked for it. 100% they would. They'd be silly not to give Lane Kiffin a lifetime deal if he was willing to take it. So yeah, you know, I that's why you wouldn't go to Alabama. Like, why am I living that pressure cooker? I lose one unranked. Like, he lost to Kentucky last year and it kept him out of the playoff. But it's like, yeah, we'll just keep it pushing. You know, you do that at Alabama, it's like your ass. You know, you lose Kentucky, it's your ass. So, anyway, good stuff there from Drew Hill. We'll come back, wrap this up here on a Tuesday. Jason and John, Audio Channel Family.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Thanks to Drew Hill for joining us on the show today. I know it's not easy, but, you know, he stepped to the plate, and we certainly do appreciate that. Yeah, we only got 2 days this week, two nights, where we're not going to have football, man. So, you know, this is your time to get stuff done during the week, you know what I mean? Spend time with your family. But come Thursday, it's on and popping, brother.
Yeah, let the wives know. Let the wives and the daughters know. They better get with it or get hit with it.
It's very simple. It's just that time of year, and
also football Thursday, Memphis, Tennessee women's soccer.
Ooh, yes,
that football biggest regular season matchup in Tigers history.
Lots of Thursday night football, no doubt about it. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Drew Hill for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and company are going to be here breaking it all down from an epic weekend, not just on the field, but on the card for Jeffrey Wright. A legendary performance in the books for him. Keep it up. Jeffrey and company up next. I'm missing for Jason. I'm John. We're gone.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.